This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host, Larry Bluestein, on 560 WQAM.
And that is us. Welcome in on a beautiful Saturday morning in South Florida if you're riding around, and a little warm to put your windows down, as our guy Mad Dog used to say, riding through South Florida with the windows down. A little warm today, but certainly crank up the AC and keep us in mind for the next hour until 11 o'clock. We kick off a long day and a productive day of live programming right here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Immediately after us at 11 o'clock, we go to Dallas for day two of the NHL draft. Doug Plagans and Red Deer Randy Moeller, the Wellington resident and a listener of our show when he's in town. And he always tells us that. And he knows, tries to push all those kids from the Palm Beach County area into the show. But yeah, don't forget, that's going to be great coverage. But we are here for the next hour, as I mentioned, Robert Grieper with us as we take you until 11 o'clock. Around 10:45 or so, college football fans and University of Pittsburgh fans, we should let all our Pitt guys like Dan Marino know. Pat Narduzzi, the head coach from the Pitt Panthers, will join us about 10:45 or so. They've done a tremendous job over the years, and now they beat Miami last year. They showed that, I mean, he's a defensive guru, as Mark Hockman would say. But he'll join us around 10:45 or so, and we'll talk a little bit. Although our clock up here is not working, so I'm going to be flying by the seat of my pants, knowing where we are. But we'll get that. 10:30. David Ferronis from the Sun Sentinel will join us as well. David covers high school football and all the sports. But not only that, he wrote a blog a couple of years back. I think it was about a year or so, maybe a little bit over, about South Florida, why South Florida is so potent in high school football, and really good, and talked to a lot of people, and we'll talk to him about that, see some of his findings as well. At 10:20, Jafari Harvey, one of the newest, if not the newest, University of Miami commitment for that class of 2019 from Vero Beach, he's going to take part as well in our show. And coming up in just a minute or so, we'll be talking with Jake Ellman from the Palm Beach Post, who covers FAU, also a lot of high schools. So, Robert, you got to keep me in mind here time-wise, but we'll keep watching it. And as we said, a lot of and also last week, Duke Johnson, who was our guest, we had promoted his event. It's going on right now. If you're driving around South Florida, you want to go see some really, really good football and see Duke Johnson, maybe a lot of former University of Miami and NFL players that always show up. It's going to be a good thing. It's going to go on all day long, and it's at Ives Park. It's right there at Ives Dairy Road in 95. You can't miss it. So that's the Duke Johnson event, and so we have that covered as well. And a lot of things, as we said, in the off season, especially at FAU, going on. Contract extension for head coach Lane Kiffin. A lot of camps going on. You know that because of the month of June has to be accelerated, because the first 3 weeks of July, the NCAA is not going to allow contact on college campuses. So now they're getting everything done. Somebody who's been at a lot of these events, he has to, because he has to keep his ear as close to the ground as possible. From the Palm Beach Post, Jake Ellman joins us. Jake, thanks so much for taking the time.
Good morning, Larry. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, I see at all these events, you do a lot of the 7-on-7s, go to the campus, but you have one of the best jobs as a college football writer, because you have one of the most colorful head coaches and somebody who really keeps the school and himself relevant at all times and keeps you guessing what's coming next. Lane Kiffin has to be one of the – it just has to keep you at night thinking what's going to happen next.
There's definitely going to come a time, you know, in a couple years when the time comes where Lane eventually settles down and says, I'm done coaching, where I'm definitely going to have enough stuff from just his first year they're going to write a book. I mean, you're definitely right. He's colorful. He's insightful. And I think what I think the perception of Lane is not what Lane really is, as I've said to you before. And I think some of the best Lane moments that I have is just when he explains, you know, when he goes into talking about analytics and sabermetrics, or when he talks about the, you know, what I learned under Nick Saban. Right. You know, that's what makes him so fun to cover, is when you see the human side of Lane, not the Twitter side, and not the side that, you know, people from Tennessee or USC still talk about him a decade later.
So his showmanship is just for the social media, and not so much what he is all about.
I would agree with that. I think, you know, you talk to Lane, you see that he's very mellow. He is, you know, the example I always give is if you go on YouTube and you watch when he was hired at Tennessee compared to when he was hired at FAU, it's night and day. You know, he's jumping up at Tennessee. He's saying, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then at FAU, he's a lot more humble. He's a lot more insightful. And he's credited that to just, you know, getting older and maturity. And I think, obviously, you know, I've only been around Lane for a year, but if you do go back and you watch the footage of when he was in Oakland or Tennessee, you can definitely see someone who went from a young man in kind of the big boy shoes to now a man trying to teach other young men how to be men.
Right, right. Jake Elman joining us, Palm Beach Post, covers FAU, amongst other things. You talk about a coach of this caliber who has been, as you mentioned, at USC, at Tennessee, with the Raiders. He's had a lineage. His father is a well-respected coach to this day, one of the more, well-respected coaches of his generation and maybe even beyond. And you get a guy now that is interacting with kids. How does he do around some of these high school programs? How does he do around some of those kids? Because obviously he can't just sit there and say nothing, and he just can't just, you know, act like he's unapproachable.
The thing that a lot of kids say to me, whether it's recruits, you know, I had this conversation with Michael Pratt of Boca last month. I've had this conversation with kids who have signed with FAU the past 2 years. Lane is not what they're expecting, because they do go in sometimes expecting, you know, the Twitter or the perception that he's one of the guys. Then you talk to him, and, you know, players have told me stories about him walking into their house for dinner and him showing the Southern hospitality, you know, being able to talk with the mothers for 10, 15 minutes about, you know, food, and then providing education and providing the best college lifestyle for their son, you know, being able to you know, if a player has a younger brother, you know, being able to talk with the father about fatherhood. I mean, Lane has three kids. You mentioned his father.
Yeah.
Lane traveling a lot as a kid, talking with the parents about, you know, the son leaving home. And it seems like Lane, obviously when he took over, there were some concerns about his recruiting because he had the incident in Pahokee in 2009with Alshon Jeffrey. He had the incident with Booker T. Washington, the controversy. And now you talk to a lot of high school coaches that have gone over to FAU, whether it's for practice, whether it's one of the Lane Kiffin football camps, and they're really starting to admire and appreciate what Lane means to this community.
Yeah, which is a lot, and I know that he gets out in the community quite a bit, and it's just you think, you know, perception around the country, and they go FAU, but a lot of people don't know Boca. I mean, it's kind of a magical type of city. I mean, when you take a look at it, you've got wealth, but you also have people who live their daily lives, and it's a great community to bring up kids and, you know, raise families. And I mean, he's landed in a really good spot. I mean, if he's after national championships, obviously that's not going to be in the cards. But if you're at like you just said, teaching a lot of the wisdom that he's picked up along the way from all these different coaches. You mentioned Nick Saban, his dad, tons of people. And then now taking that and giving this to his team, to the younger players at camps. I mean, it's really, you don't see this type of story every day.
And I think that's what makes him hiring Charlie Weiss Jr., 25 years old, even more special. And Lane has said, you know, I was in a similar situation with Pete Carroll. And lo and behold, when Lane gets hired in December 2016, who does he mention and shout out during the introductory press conference?
Yeah.
Pete Carroll. I think Lane is slowly transitioning into that mentor role. And obviously when you're a younger coach, you know, it's your job to mentor the players. Now, I think Lane is really starting to embrace that he has a lot of younger coaches on his staff. and he can start teaching them, and he can start getting them ready. He's mentioned he's mentioned defensive line coach and recruiting coordinator Eric Mathis potentially being a head coach one day. We mentioned Charlie Weiss Jr., Clint Trickett, the former Florida State quarterback, young guy who's the tight ends coach. So Lane, it's a young staff, and that helps with the players, but I think it also helps Lane because now Lane can impart this wisdom that he's learned from the Carrolls, the Tom Coughlins, the Sabins, onto the next generation.
And also the recent addition of Tony Picaro, who came from Southern Mississippi and has been around, and he knows South Florida, and that's important too. And that was missing from the previous regime. I mean, we all knew that. I mean, it was, you know, I mean, and then even before that, Charlie tried hard to get a lot of the local guys, and even before them, Pelini tried harder, but it never worked. He's done that, as you said, by getting a mix of younger players with a name recognition, or younger coaches with a name recognition, sort of like what Butch Davis has done. I mean, the centerpiece is going to be Butch Davis, the centerpiece is going to be Lane Kiffin, but around you, you replace what's around you, and as long as your centerpiece is there, the people around you, like you said, he's given Weiss an opportunity. Maybe in a year or two, Weiss gets a head job at Troy State or one of these schools like that. Then he moves, elevates a position coach like Mathis or something like that into a coordinator position, and that's the way to do it. I think if you're going to have a successful program, especially at FAU and FIU, you have to do it that way, Jake.
I agree 100%. I think that's what makes the recent departure of Landon Salem, who was a pro personnel in recruiting, you know, that's a big loss. I was talking with Dalton Husted, preferred walk-on who played at Dwyer, and we were talking about how Coach Salem, you know, Lane has more of a national focus. He'll recruit from Alabama. He'll recruit from Texas. He'll recruit from the West. You know, Coach Salem, he was going around to a lot of these local schools, you know, Seminole Ridge, Dwyer, and he was getting some of these local guys who maybe could have played at a D3 school, a D2, and NAIA, and saying, wait a second, why not come to FAU as a preferred walk-on? Why not stay home? And Coach Salem, from what I've been told, when Lane took over, was instrumental in talking to some of the preferred walk-ons, you know, the Dante Cozarts, the Gerald Hearns, those guys who played locally, whether it was Palm Beach, Broward, or Miami-Dade, and saying, we want you to stay around. We want to have that we still want to have that local element, and we see a future for you here.
And you made a great point. Dante Cozart, who maybe would never have gone to this school in the past, has an opportunity, and we saw him during the spring, especially the spring game. Kid could catch. I mean, he moves the chains, and at the end of the day, that's what I believe. What Nick Saban taught somebody like him that. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, as long as you move those chains and progress that offense, I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. And I think Cozart's a perfect example of that.
You know, that's what we saw last year, where it was kind of going into the season, there were so many questions. You know, who's going to play where? And we saw players that kind of were lower on the depth chart, at least for the first month of the season, step up. Tavares Harrison, local product, was big in the first month.
Right.
Rashad Smith from Homestead. You know, you think about this time last year, the talk was there was going to be a JUCO linebacker coming in, starting alongside Aziz Alshire. The JUCO linebacker doesn't qualify. Rashad Smith, out of nowhere, seemingly leads the team in sacks.
Yeah. Well, and I thought Rashad Smith had an awesome spring, and he's one of those guys. And then Harrison is a product of North Miami, where I went. So I'd like to see players from South Florida flourish, because it hasn't happened where FAU's been able to just to plug into Palm Beach County with a pipeline. It just hasn't happened that way, but it's starting to, and you could see it, as you mentioned, Cozart and a lot of the other kids, Singletary. A lot of these players who are from the area are going to put butts in the seats, and inevitably that's what it's all about. Jake, thanks so much. I can't thank you enough for coming on this morning. We'll have you plenty during the course of the year talking FAU football and recruiting.
Thank you for having me on, Larry. Always a pleasure.
Good stuff. Jake Elman, Palm Beach Post. When we come back, Jafari Harvey, he is a defensive end, Vero Beach. He's a University of Miami commitment. And David Ferronis from the Sun Sentinel. We'll talk to them both next.
Radio.com.
Radio.com.
Radio. 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 Thanks so much to Jake Ellman from the Palm Beach Post for joining us. Don't forget, immediately after, this just kicks off an entire day of live broadcasting right here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, live from Dallas. Day two of the NHL draft is coming up next. Doug Plagans and Red Deer Randy Moeller. Randy Moeller, good guy. Both of them are really good guys and tremendous knowledge of hockey. As we switch back into our football format, as you know that throughout the course of the year when the University of Miami has a commitment on the football field, we're there with it. And we've had the 2017s, the 2018, and now the 2019 class coming together in most recent commitment. Jafari Harvey, a defensive end from Vero Beach, joins us this morning. Jafari, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me on.
Anytime. Congratulations, and I know that's it's huge. I was telling Coach Jankowski yesterday that I remember you from a couple of years ago. You were tall and thin. You were at John Carroll, and one of the coaches came over to me and says, keep your eye on that young man because he's going to be special. Things worked out. He was prophetic, and you head to Vero Beach with a lot of optimism, a lot more size and athleticism. Talk about the process and how you've got to this point.
I mean, transferring to Vero Beach is like one of the best decisions I made. Like, when I went there, the program was way different. Weight room, like, was better for a strength and conditioning coach versus every day. Makes it the best that you could be. So I'm just thankful for that. So, eating about like 15 pounds since January.
And I mean, you have an opportunity, like I said, because of the fact that you're naturally a tremendous athlete, but the opportunity now from the coaching that you've had in the past, plus what you're going to get this entire year. I mean, this is amazing because one of the coaches is Coach Bethel, who is a former Hurricane and the father of one of the up and coming players here at the University of Miami. Talk about that experience, having an opportunity to work with somebody like that, somebody who's been there, done that, and loves the area.
It's great, you know, because he's been in the NFL and he played for the Hurricanes, so when it's coming for him, you know, everybody, you know, like, everybody trusts in what he's doing. Mm-hmm. You can see the results coming.
I mean, and you look at him and watch what he's doing. I mean, it's you know, I watched it in a different light last year when Jason Taylor, who just inducted the Hall of Fame, was coaching for St. Thomas Aquinas, and he took a couple of kids and changed, you know, the way they play with one or two moves. What has he shown you that you've been able to say, hey, wow, geez, I wish I knew this before?
He's shown me so much. It's like I learned something new every single day. He's more than me to be a great player.
Right, right. Jafari Harvey joining us, newest University of Miami commitment for the class of 2019. Talk about that. I mean, here's a school that a lot of people look at, and it's a huge, program throughout the years. It's something that, especially if you grew up in the southern part of the state of Florida, what does it mean to you and your family to have an opportunity to further your education at a school like Miami, but also have an opportunity to play for a program that's definitely on the rise?
It's a blessing, man. It's just a blessing. Me and my family so excited.
What was it? I mean, what was it that you, because I saw you, I think, earlier, didn't you? You went to like a rivals camp or something that I had an opportunity to watch you at, and it seemed like everybody was watching. But what is it about having the opportunity to play at a school like Miami? I mean, as much as you know about it and the play, I mean, like you said, you already know some people that are already playing here. What was it? Is it a family? Did they embrace you in a different way than most schools have?
Oh, yeah. But when I went down there, it was like a family. I felt like I had to be there. Mm-hmm. Like, it was kind of like, it was like home.
I mean,
like,
that's...
I had to be a Canadian.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go finish, because I wanted you to talk about it.
Yeah, ain't nothing like paradise. And when I went down there, me and my family, my sisters loved it, my mom loved it, I loved it. I felt like I couldn't go wrong going to Miami.
Right, right, and that's important that your family got a chance to see it, and yeah, I mean, and you know that the coaching staff at Vero has already been down to Miami plenty of times. They have players there. They've had players there as well. What are you looking forward to this coming season? I know this is your first chance to be at a higher level, you know, of play where there's a lot of depth at a lot of those schools. What are you anticipating? Because you guys are going to have a really good team this year.
Sure. My first goal is to win a championship. You know, make my team better, be the best team we could be, you know. And I'm just trying to bring it to a whole different level.
Yeah. And and obviously living in the area, you knew a lot of the players now that are at Vero Beach. It probably didn't take you long to be accepted. What has it been like? Weight room there, you had mentioned weight training. I know they do a lot of conditioning. They attend a lot of events and do a lot of things. Talk about that experience of bonding with your new teammates.
Yeah, like when I went there, we just clicked. Me and my teammates just clicked. They were like a family there. Everybody watch everybody back. Everybody yeah. Bring it together.
Yeah. Well, excited. I know you're plenty excited about the opportunity, Jafari. I know that this class, has anybody reached out to you in the class, the 2019 class, when you committed?
Not really, like, personally. Not like direct.
Yeah, well, they'll start. They'll start to, as soon as they start meeting you and seeing you. Are you going to be coming down the Paradise camp?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be there.
Okay, well, we're going to look forward to you, Jafari. Congratulations on the commitment. I know the University of Miami is excited to have you down there, and the fans are elated to hear from you. Best of luck, and we'll see you soon.
I appreciate it.
Anytime. Jafari Harvey, newest commitment with the University of Miami, defensive end out of Vero Beach, just getting big. Like I said, I talked to Coach Jankowski, longtime coach in Florida, and at Vero Beach has turned that program back around, and they're doing some great things. And he just said that during the spring, it was just the kid was just so impressive that sometimes they had to take him out because they weren't getting the things accomplished that they needed to. But excellent football player, and I know Miami in this class of 2019 is right there. With the we saw Ta'Quarri Couch, we'll try to get him in the coming shows as well. So I know that the University of Miami fans have to be excited about the future for what they have an opportunity to do. What Coach Richt has done, we went down to the camps earlier, and we love what we saw down at the camps, the 7-on-7s, the line camps, the interaction with the coaches, and you could see the difference over the last couple of years in this the way that it has become a family at Miami, just like Jafari Harvey said. So certainly excited to talk to him. A lot of people had requested for us to have him on. He's been on. Don't forget, you can get all of our the podcasts, all the replays of our show, all the shows. Go to WQAM.com and you go to the top of the page and you'll be able to pick out anything you want. But this show will be on. Don't forget, coming up, Coach Pat Narduzzi, head coach of the University of Pittsburgh. He'll join us about 10:45. But before we get to Coach Narduzzi, we welcome in a friend who's has really done a lot as far as high school football coverage. He does, you know, the entire gamut. I know he loves football the best, but he does a tremendous job with the Sun Sentinel doing that. But one of the reasons that I wanted to get David Ferronis on the show today was because of the fact that he wrote a blog article, and we'll let him talk about it a little bit more, about why South Florida is such a potent area for high school football. David, thanks so much for jumping on with us this morning, and welcome in.
Hey, Larry, thanks for having me anytime. Thanks for those kind words.
No, but I know you work hard, and I see you're very diligent, and you've done a great job. I know football is one of your favorite sports. I can't, because the people at the Sentinel are listening, and they go, hey, listen, he favors that sport. But I know you love all the sports. But from a football standpoint, you took on a topic that a lot of people around here have been talking about for a long time, why South Florida is the way it is and why so much talent, and why 67 kids from Dayton Broward last year were in the NFL twice as much as the, maybe almost three times as much as the nearest community. Talk about that and what your findings were, and because I know you talked to a lot of people who have been around for a long time. What was the reasoning that you heard the most?
Right. Well, yeah, first, that was one of my favorite articles ever to write. That was, you know, before I even got the job at the Sun Sentinel where I work now. And and definitely one of the top clips that I used to get that job. So, so having that certainly helped. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I talked to a lot of people. You were one of them for sure. So I had to rely on your expertise, having covered this area for going on nearly
a billion years. Too long.
Yeah. So I really like the, you know, the historical perspective that you were able to provide, you know, your vast knowledge. And I spoke to Luther Campbell, you know, he really gave the kind of the inner city perspective and, you know, what it's like for a lot of these kids growing up and just how hungry they are to succeed and, you know, using football as a way to get out. And I mean, yeah, there's just so many reasons. There's, I mean, the climate has to be one of them. You know, they have year-round football here. You know, once the season's over, it's 7-on-7 time. And, you know, you see these kids, you know, if you're not out there, then, you know, you see them on the highlights, on all over Twitter and Instagram. You know, they're making stellar catches, defensive plays, you know, everything. And, you know, just the competition that they face all the way from their youth days, for sure. They're always kind of a step ahead of everyone else. Like when they're playing at a certain age, you know, it's almost like they're getting the experience of playing 2 years ahead.
And exactly. So, yeah.
Before they even get to high school, they've already played kind of high school caliber talent.
You know, David, that's a great point you make. Because of the youth football programs and regarded pretty much by everybody as, you know, one of the top areas in the country for youth football. I mean, by the time these kids get into the ninth grade, as we're seeing with so many, the most recent guy I can remember was Joseph Yearby, who came out of just a very, very impressive youth program, you know, in Miami at Gwen Cherry, and then went to Miami Central in his opening game against Camden County, returned a kickoff 95 yards. I mean, Central lost, but that's what I'm saying. You, the Dalvin Cooks, where you could just take off from that youth football, and then at the next year, you're seeing a lot of these kids blend in. I don't see that as much everywhere else in the country. So that is a big reason, David.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean they come in already facing that kind of talent. And then you see it. You see, even some of the elite teams, they get, like last year, that you'll all have a class of 2021 player or two that's really contributing to a state championship type team. And then, you know, and I'm sure this upcoming season, you'll see some of the 2022 guys doing the same thing.
David Ferronis joining us, Sun Sentinel, South Florida Sun Sentinel. I mean, obviously, you see every day, I mean, during the football season, in the off season, just a tremendous amount of transfers going on. I mean, that's something in South Florida because, I mean, if you take a week off, you may not be able to catch up because of the fact that there are kids, especially this time of year, because of the fact that there are different stages. There are kids who are just fed up and want to leave. Then you have those who want to play spring, because if you go somewhere else, they won't let you play spring. So they stay till after spring, and then you have this period where every day a kid goes, well, I'm not at that school anymore. I'm not that, you know, at that school anymore. Do you look at it? I mean, and a lot of people say the kids are chasing a ring. Is it a parental decision or a kid's decision? I mean, because you're around it a lot. I mean, and you see it. The pressure to win a state title or to have a ring down here is immense. You know, I mean, we know that every year the Miami Centrals and the Northwesterns and the Carroll Cities and American Heritages and the St. Thomases are all going to be in a better than average chance to reach the, you know, the state title. But what about the rest of them? I mean, do we come to a point, and this has been asked of me a lot of times, do we come to a point where all these other schools are just going to be average, and they're not going to, you know, they're just going to play, you know, just to get in maybe as an eighth seed? Or will things, you think, level off one day and people say, hey, listen, you know what, I'm not going to wait 2 years here just to chase a ring?
Right. And you hear a lot of the talk in the NBA about these super teams, that last year the only two teams that really had a chance to win it were the Rockets and the Warriors. And then, you know, you kind of see some of the same things in high school football down here. You got your St. Thomas Aquinas, you have your Miami Central, Miami Northwestern, Carroll City, those teams, American Heritage, of course, Chaminade is one of those in Broward.
In 8A, the only team that's a private school would be Columbus. So, you know, so 8A is usually going to be the team, the program or the class that you could look at and say to yourself, well, not only that, or just out and out predict who, you know, at 7A, you're more than right if you're going to think St. Thomas is going to get there. And then 6A, you take a look at any of those three from that one district, and you wouldn't be off since they've been in it, since the, 12, 14 years in a row with Central and every. So, and then 5A, it's come down to Heritage because you can't turn your back on them. But yet, here's Cardinal Gibbons knocking on the door. And you know, and then last year, Gibbons was talking about Rockledge was one of the top teams. And then we saw, you know, Orlando Jones. And then you get a 4A, which is, and I've always maintained this, anytime you keep Booker T in things, they're always going to be a chance. They always have the chance because, everybody has those, like a university school and Coco have a lot of those skilled kids and maybe a frontline line on both sides. But that's where Booker T differs. They have those size. They have more depth on both sides. And you'd hate to see them if you were, you know, in the first round, if you were like, let's say, a number one seed and they were a six. I mean, that wouldn't be the ideal first round. And then, you know, obviously in the private schools this year, Chaminade probably got a huge boost with Oxbridge closing. What do you think about that, Oxbridge closing up? It's one of those programs that almost reached a pinnacle, and then they just decided that it wasn't for them.
Yeah, you talk about transfer season, and that's where the greatest amount of transfers are.
The moving vans are there as we speak, I think. You know?
You know, it's a shame. I mean, you see a team make this this rise to get to a state championship game so quickly. You know, having Doug Socha there, the former American Heritage Del Rey state championship winning coach, you know, take over, and then you know you just saw the. Slow but sure de-emphasization of football there, and then eventually they let Socha go, and Brendan Kent, one of the coordinators, he comes up and is a head coach, and he does a fine job, but then you know it really reached its tipping point this offseason. You know, now all the players as the program shuts down are
scrambling,
finding other places to go.
I'm sure it's not going to
Central, one of them.
Atlantic being the other. They're not going to. They're just going to make those Palm Beach County teams a lot stronger. Dave, thanks so much. If anybody wants to follow you through the course of the week with the Sen, I'll give anybody some of that information.
Yeah, definitely. My Twitter is at David Furones. David Furones underscore. Follow me definitely throughout the season. Bunch of high school football coverage going on all through the Tri-County area. And, right for the Sun Sentinel, check out all of my articles. Also, my partner, Wells Dusenberry. We do a fine job covering high school football and all high school sports here in South Florida.
Yes, you do. Dave, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Anytime. Good guy, David Furones, hard worker. When we come back, we wrap things up for a Saturday. Head coach Pat Narduzzi from the University of Pittsburgh is next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Don't go anywhere. We have live programming all day. Immediately after here, we will have an opportunity to go to day two of the NHL draft in Dallas, where Doug Plagans and Randy Moeller, Red Deer, are standing by. So they will be heading out in just a few minutes and back out to Dallas, where it's kind of early. It's an hour, I guess, difference. Thanks so much to David Furones of the South Florida Sun Sentinel for joining us in that last segment, as well as Jafari Harvey, defensive end at Vero Beach, University of Miami commitment. I know a lot of people had been talking over the last, last couple of days to a week about the opportunity that University of Miami is getting here to pick up some really good football players. We saw, if you go to, anybody who follows the Hurricanes, you'll understand what they've been able to do over the last few years with Coach Rick and this coaching staff in place to make a huge run at the you know, last year at the Coastal Division, and hopefully this year at an ACC title. So, and also earlier in the show, Jake Elman from the Palm Beach Post joined us as well. Just waiting on Coach Pat Narduzzi, University of Pittsburgh. We'll talk to him just a little bit about what's going on as far as the Panthers are concerned, especially over the last couple of weeks in South Florida, especially. They've had a few commitments. He can't obviously talk about those, but we can. A couple of kids that were key football players here in South Florida, but not only that, they have quite a few players, and it's a style, a defensive style of football, ACC, just like the South Florida people are used to as well. Also, when you talk about if you're hanging out today and just looking for something to do for a couple hours, the Duke Johnson Foundation Tournament is being held at Ives Park right there off of Ives Dairy Road and I-95. Excuse me. And a lot of teams, 20 or so teams are out there. It's a whole day. And like I said, there's a lot of talent that are hanging out there today. Plus, if you look, University of Miami, former University of Miami players are there as well. But one of his New Orleans teammates, Xavier Rhodes, is having an event today. So there's so much. And we talked about that. You can never, when you think about it, you can never really have a weekend without anything going on. I mean, you know, it's almost crazy that when you have a situation like that, that you have to choose. And it's such a great day as you're driving around now. You have an opportunity. Don't forget SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com, our website, SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com, our website. Check it out daily. New blogs, new information, everything that's going on we have for you. And a lot of information, catching up with some of the prospects. Also, some of the team. Last week, we checked in with Western. As we said before, Coach Pat Narduzzi, University of Pittsburgh, doing a tremendous job since arriving. Has kind of changed the culture a little bit. And really has done an awesome job recruiting all over the place. Comes in with that defensive style. And something that a lot of people admire. He joins us this morning. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
Good morning, Larry. Hey, I appreciate it. So I'm a couple minutes late here.
That's okay.
We got a 7-on-7 with 40 teams here in Pittsburgh lighting it up, trying to score points. And someone's trying to stop them. and we got a light rain here in Pittsburgh, so it's a beautiful day.
Yeah, it's been that week this week that you guys have had some flooding and stuff, but it doesn't happen very often. That's a city that's always, whenever I've been there, is a really dry, beautiful area, and I call one of the best sports cities because of where everything's located. You know, to downtown and the walking bridges, and you know, a lot of restaurants around everything. It creates an atmosphere, and I know a lot of the kids who have gone up there over the last couple of years that you've been there have seen that and a lot more changes going on. But you bring a philosophy to the school that a lot of people admire. Talk about that and what it's been like for you.
You know, Larry, I'll finish up your statement about just how beautiful this city is. It really is beautiful. The food, the restaurants, the ability to get around on foot. It is just a tremendous, beautiful city. And people haven't been there. You know, in the last 10 years, it has totally changed from what it used to be back when I was growing up in the area 30 years ago.
Wow.
But, you know, our philosophy, you talk about a championship city and the city of champions. It certainly is a great sports town with the Steelers and the Pirates and the Penguins, as well as, you know, obviously the Pitt Panthers. And, you know, I enjoy being in Pittsburgh, and I can't tell you how happy I am to be the head coach here. It is a gold mine city. It's a gold mine job. We're going to win an ACC championship here, and we're going to be, you know, we're going to do it with tough kids and tough football. We're going to do it the old school way, is pound it down your throat and play great defense and win championships.
You know, you're in a community that tapped in the 70s with Johnny Majors, and then later on with that mentality, those kids that come out, the Dan Marino type of guys who come out with that, you know, with that hardworking mentality. They bring that lunch pail every day. I mean, that's what you think about Pittsburgh. I mean, you look at the city, you look at the suburbs. Talk about that community when it comes to football, because you've been in a lot of good areas, and in your coaching career that kind of rivals some of the tops. Talk about Pittsburgh, the mentality, that mentality that we watched throughout the years with the Pittsburgh Steelers as well.
Yeah, Larry. You can see this outside of our practice field. We talk about the tough blue collar, city. And it's also a tech city nowadays with Apple and Google, and Amazon's got us down to the final three as a place to put a new place. But you can look out your window. I can look at my office right now, and I look to my right, and I've got train tracks where you got trains going down with the steel and the coal on the back of the trains. You look to the left, you got barges going down the Monongahela River, the three rivers in this area. So that's what it comes down to. And then you got the hills and mountains. It's just a tough, beautiful city. And I don't know if there's one like this in the country. And then when you look at that, Larry, and combine that with the type of football we have in this area, I tell recruits all the time, like, the reason we're going to win a championship here at Pitt is because we got an unbelievable chancellor. We got an incredible athletic director in Heather Like. And then we're in a hotbed of recruiting. I know the South Florida area is going to be a place we go down and get as many out of there as we can because of how fertile that area is. But then when you look around just in our backyard, besides Western Pennsylvania and the great football and history and tradition we've had out of there.
Sure.
You go west, you got the state of Ohio, good football. You go east, you got New Jersey.
Yeah.
You go a little southeast and you got the DMV, the Washington, D.C., Virginia, Maryland area, which has every year some great athletes. And then we're going to shoot south, and we're going right down to South Florida and try to dip into the incredible talent we have down there.
Yeah, and that's exciting as well. I know that's been a destination. I know when you're at Michigan State, same thing. They try to get those key kids from this area. What makes this area in our closing minute so special for you guys to tap into?
Well, I think it starts, number one, I think you can – it's obviously because of the athletes down there, but I don't think the athletes matter if you don't have a Charlie Partridge, a coach that's from that area, from South Florida, recruit that area. I think he's a number one. He's an unbelievable football coach in person, but he's a great recruiter and people love him down there. And he knows where to go, where not to go, who to take, who not to take. And the great thing is the coaches down there shoot them straight on who they are. That's why I got a lot of faith and trust in Charlie going down to South Florida and getting the right ones, and we've gotten the right ones in the past.
Yes, you have. Coach, I just wanted to – we'll get you back on again when we can spend more time, but we want to let everybody know, what a outstanding job you've done, and a lot of people are watching, especially here in South Florida. Keep it up. We'll keep close with your program, and obviously we'll see you at least once a year being in that Coastal Division.
Sounds great, Larry. Appreciate you having me on today. I'll come on anytime, and hail to Pitt.
Good stuff. That's a great show. Wraps it up. Don't forget, our coverage next, live, second day, NHL from Dallas. Doug Plagans, Randy Moeller next. Thanks, Robert Grieper. We're back next Saturday. See ya.